Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is Sunday night, and that's the latest Slap Debate. It is time for the weekend wrap. Let's get this show started. Sorry about being a little tardy tonight, but let's get this show on the road. We'll be calling the champ in a minute, but right now, let's talk to my co-host, Mr. Jabron Clement. Jabron, what's going on tonight, my man?
Not much, man. Feeling great. Feeling a lot better. I was under the weather last week. I was like 25%. This week I'm about 85%, so we are ready to rock and roll.
Hey, man, I hear you. I've been kind of stuck in that same quandary myself. But as you said, things must go on. So, hey, we're going to talk a little boxing. But it seems like some of these boxing associations are starting to clean up their act a little bit. The latest we've heard now, the WBC is starting to clear out some sanctioning. They're starting to make some changes, and it's affecting a lot of boxers. The last I heard, I believe, on the list for the WBC that hadn't signed up for the testing, among them were Lamont Peterson and a few others. Have you heard anything about the WBC and their actions, and what do you think about these different organizations finally trying to clear up their act?
I think it's a wonderful thing, and yes, I did hear about it, and some of the boxers that was dropped when it initially went down, some of them has signed up, and one of them was Amir Khan. He was dropped, but stated yesterday, him and a couple of other fighters, I think Lamont Peterson also, he's signed up, so he's back in there.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm kind of glad to see all these sanctioning bodies at least make an effort. Now, I'm not, I don't know whether it's all about the publicity or not, but at least they're starting to make an effort. I want to ask Layman a little bit more about what this actually means, because there's so many different sanctioning bodies we have the WBA talking about cleaning up their act. Champ, how are you doing this evening?
Oh man, I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. We are doing great. Champ, we were talking a little bit about the WBC and its effort to clean up its different bodies. They're talking about making it drug free, and the boxers have to be signed up for the program. Layman, what does this actually mean as far as the fighters? And is this a major undertaking, or is this just them conforming with the rules that are already there in place?
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's really. too early to say. You know, they say, as a saying, say the road to hell was paved with good intentions, because this is something that it could be, you know, it could be some type of ulterior motive behind it. We just don't know. I think the time is going to be the tell all. And I think this is one where we're going to have to just sit back and watch, wait and see how this plays out.
Leonard, do you think that this is because, you know, I mean, first of all, I'm not sure. I mean, is this because of is this a direct fallout from the Tyson Fury situation, do you think?
I think it's accumulative. I don't think it's necessarily one incident per se, but I think it kind of built up to this moment that we're at, you know, this time in history. I think that's what they're trying to do, because if you go back to there's too many fights to go back to that I don't even want to name, but I just think that everything led to this point, you know, in order for boxing to save what it has and flourish, you know, it must show the people that they are taking the necessary steps to try to better the sport and have a good name.
Now, does this transcend state lines? I mean, you know, does this apply to all of the boxing commissions, or is this just a WBC thing and only applicable in certain states? How does this work?
As far as I know, this only applies to the WBC, and hopefully people will set aside their egos and their pride and, you know, join together, because if it works together for good, then how could it be bad, you know, because if you start mandating these type of things collectively as a community and not as an individual organization, I think everybody stands to benefit from it.
Jabron, I mean, you know, we've heard a lot of about the expressions, you know, locker room talk, but, you know, being in the gym, have you heard any locker room talk concerning the boxing rules?
No, I haven't really heard anything from any boxers or casual fans. Like I was stating last show, a lot of casual fans really don't care about that stuff. They're more just about the entertainment and the drama. That's, you know, a lot of those technical things in the background, they can care less.
Yeah, I really agree with that, but it is, you know, good to see these sanctioning bodies at least finally at least look like they're trying to make some headway and really look out for the boxers and, you know, exactly what's going on. Now, we have had some controversy about the Triple G Danny Jacobs match. It seems like Danny Jacobs has filed. We know that usually, you know, the primary gets, I believe it's 75-25. But Danny Jacobs put in for, I guess, some kind of papers that they filed for it to be, to get a purse bid 60-40. Of course, the WBA ruled against him. But, Layman, can you, you know, I hate to keep picking your brain, man, but, you know, can you kind of tell us, you know, what this means as far as, you know, I mean, are there papers that a fighter can sign to get, you know, a bigger chunk of the purse? And, you know, the fallout from this, do you think that Danny could end up getting more than the 25%? How does that play out, Lena?
Well, man, I have to be totally honest with you, man. I always thought that it was 60-40 in the cases that are – no, I mean, for the most part, I always thought that, when you have a guy who is a champion and you have a guy who is the number one and he's the mandatory, if it's mandatory, I thought that it's split 60-40. So, you know, outside of that, I can't really say much more because then I would be off my ground because I always thought that it was 60-40. I never heard the 75-25 before.
Well, maybe you just demand a little bit more layman, or you know, maybe it's a little bit different for the heavyweights. But I was kind of surprised to find this out myself. It is standard procedure for the fighter to ask for 60-40, or is this something you know that's totally new, or just a WBA thing?
That's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, it was the first thing, the first time I had ever heard of it. I mean, it does seem rather one-sided. I mean, you know, 75-25. I would have thought 60-40, or at least, I really would have thought 60-40. Jabron, were you surprised to hear about this?
I was very surprised. I was like, is Don King involved in that? 75-25. Yeah, I was really shocked, but I was wondering where is the gun, because somebody's being robbed, like 25 for a champion. I understand he's side, but that's a little steep.
Yeah, I mean, 75-25. So I mean, you know, Floyd must have been getting 85-15. Floyd must have really been sticking him up, but I don't, you know. But hey, man, I mean, you know, it just seems funny when you start looking back into this, the different rules and regulations and how, you know, the different monies are split up. And I mean, you know, you got to kind of wonder, man, you know, I mean, we always kind of tease about, you know, the corruption and everything within the sport. But you know, now you really have to start wondering why everybody is calling Al Haymon and trying to throw him under the bus as far as the way he treats his fighters. At 75-25, and the promoter taking his bid off the top, this has to be, another way that, tend to bend the fighter over and stick it to him without any grease. Layman, maybe this is a different era. Isn't that putting the challenger at an extreme disadvantage, considering, I mean, he has the same expenses as the champion. I mean, he still has to pay the sparring partners, his training. I mean, the difference in expenses aren't that big. So why would there be that big a difference in the purse?
When you were explaining that to me, man, what came to my mind was something that James Brown, a song he had, he said, you got to pay the cost to be the boss. And so what I think, to the extent to argue and say if that is the case, maybe it's good. And here's my argument. If a guy is fighting for a world title, he going to fight twice as hard because he know the only way he going to really make some money is to win that title. He not going to go in there like a lot of these guys' illusion is, I want to be like Mayweather and make a lot of money and then get into a fight where the heat is real hot in the kitchen and be like, okay, well, I got my guarantee. Maybe I don't want to be a champ. I'm going to just take this check and lay on down. But when you know you were in there and you fighting the champion, you know you ain't getting a lot of money. You know you got to do everything you can without cutting corners to try to become the best fighter that night. So when you step in the ring, you can give it everything you got without any negativity of, oh, well, I didn't do everything I could. But, you know, don't matter, win, lose, or draw, I got this guaranteed money, I'll be okay because I was in this for the money anyway. So, thinking about it, man, I think it's actually good because why should the challenger make anything remotely close to the champion? Because the champion, if he's defending his title, that means he once was in the shoes of the challenger. And when you're the champion, you sit at the top of the mountain alone. So you, without a shadow of a doubt, deserve every single cent that you make, and everybody else should earn that spot. You shouldn't, and this is just me talking, you shouldn't earn as much as the champ or even close as much as the champ, because that champ is there for a reason. He's paid his dues. He's stuck it out. He's maybe, you know, went in the trenches to win that title. So, no, it's not right because a guy, you know, he got a padded record and he's getting to fight for a title because his managers slipped some money under the table and got him some fights against some suckers to build up his record and then got him in a position to be number one. And now he gets to make almost as much money as the champion. Nah, that ain't fair.
But being devil's advocate though, Layman, I mean, you know, and I hate to kind of refer back to LeBron because I know, you know, I mean, I don't know the details, but I know you were once signed with the man, and I am referring to Don. I mean, doesn't this give more incentive to the promoter, you know, to either, you know, hold the fighter back because, you know, he's not making enough money, or, you know, simply behind the fact that, you know, he's only, you know, that the fighter's only earning 25% of the purse. You know, I mean, it might not be to his advantage to put his fighter in the ring more than once or twice a year. Layman, was this one of the problems that a lot of the fighters have found with Don King, the fact that, you know, he didn't promote him enough? You know, now do we kind of see, you know, with that 25% thing in there, I mean, you know, does it kind of make more sense why Don held his fighters back and, you know, was trying to get a bigger piece of the pie?
No, not at all, man. It's totally not even in this conversation, because if you know anything about Don, you know 95% of all Don fighters only fought Don fighters. So Don had the heavyweight division and other weight divisions. If you go look at the people he fought, they fought people that was already signed to Don. So he had nothing to lose anyway. Now, when it came to a purse bid, now if Don didn't win the bid, you know, it still didn't matter, because you got to remember, when a purse bid, the money's to be, first of all, whoever wins the bid, they get to say where they want the fight to be at, right? So now we know that a percentage is going to go to the champion and a percentage is going to go to the challenger. So Don don't have no power over that. As a matter of fact, it would be in Don's best interest to try to make sure, like in my case, that it didn't go to Perch Bid, because if I would have known how much money was on the table when I was defending my title, then I could have made a better argument and even went to court about it. But because Don made the fight and this was the site that was set because they paid him X amount of dollars, well, shoot, all I could do is just he tell me how much the fight was worth, whether he lying or not. How do I know? I can't call the places that give him the site fee and the TV and all the sponsors and say, well, how much y'all paying Don? Well, I think I should be getting this amount of money, Don, because it don't work like that. But with a purse bid, if the purse is $1 million, well, then that's public record. And Don don't have to disclose that to me because the media is going to do that. And I can say, look, Don, you're not going to give me $200,000 and my opponent is going to make $100,000 and then you're going to make $700,000. That's some B to the S. So, no, I think that the purse bids are perfect because the fighter then knows what his worth is. And, I mean, that don't take away from the promoter, because that the promoter, whoever wins that purse bid, then they're still on top of that million. You know, they're going to make the money back from the gate, from the sponsors, from the TV and everything. But now it makes promoters that have these champions or have this number one challenger, it makes them take a back seat to say, okay, well, I know if it's $1 million and there's a 60-40 split, well, then I know I'm only going to get a part of that 60 if you're the champion. So part of that 600,000, well, shoot, man, you can't say I want 300,000 as a promoter, because if the fighter put that out there, because they already public know how much he going to make, he'll be exiled from boxing, and everybody in boxing will look down on that promoter for saying I deserve 300,000 and he ain't getting punched in the face. So my argument is that it should go to purse bid because it's public record.
I definitely understand where you're coming from, and I would like to see, like you said, I mean, it becomes a matter of a public record, and I think that would be better for all parties involved. Jabron, looking at this from a fan's point of view, and someone that's relatively somewhat on the fringes of the game, you know, me and you, you know, I mean, whereas Layman is embroiled in the middle of this. After, you know, knowing all the controversy and the whispering and everything that the boxing, the sport has been through, it seemed, after Floyd, everybody kind of thought, the big guys are gone, so now things are going to kind of cool down and things are going to get back to fighting, and we're not going to have all the controversy anymore. Jabron, how much has this Tyson Fury whole episode, how much has this done to make the casual fan sort of back away from the sport, as they were before? Or do you think that this, is perhaps making the casual fan be more observant about what's going on?
As far as Tyson Fury, I mean, the casual fan really, is not affected by him, far as, them liking him or his effect on boxing, where they're going to be like, I don't know if I want to watch it. But I feel like it has a positive effect, because now with the titles out there, it's giving these other fighters opportunities
to fight for those titles and not have the division held up hostage. You see, I was reading today, it looked like it's finalized for Fury Klitschko December the 10th. And we have Malik Scott and Luis Ortiz, and they already working on the winner of that fight, possibly fighting Joseph Parker or the winner of the Klitschko fight. So you got a nice mix going on in the heavyweight. It's making it interesting. So I think his situation done more good than bad.
Layman, you know, we're all friends with Deontay. I mean, you know, is this a setback for Deontay? I mean, you know, now we have, you know, Klitschko Fury. We got, you know, Ortiz possibly fighting and, you know, some more heavyweights. Does this actually put Deontay a little bit more behind as far as having to wait for, unite the titles? Does this make his timetable somewhat of a little bit longer? Or, you know, as I said before, with Klitschko and Joshua fighting, does this possibly work out to his more to his advantage?
Well, I think, me personally speaking, in my opinion, looking at the roadmap, because I'm trying to look at it as a map as you was laying everything out, to me it looks like a perfect time for him in terms of just staying in his own lane, because right now he is the world heavyweight champion of the United States of America, but he represents the world, but he represents America. So his concern should not be, in my opinion, right now about unifying all the titles, because I feel like all he got to do is keep fighting, keep getting that experience, keep maturing in his game, keep collecting his money to take care of his family and his life after boxing, and let the people continue to know who he is inside the ring and outside the ring. And then let those guys go ahead and fight each other, because what they're going to do is expose their weaknesses and their strengths for him to better be able to take them apart. Because remember what I told you, every time two warriors step in a ring and they give it their all, they leave a little bit in that ring, a little bit in that ring, a little bit in that ring, and they're never the same. So when he does step in the ring, if it is a Vladimir, well, then we all know that, you know, it's just a matter of time, because Vladimir is up in age. He's had a great run. He was a great champion for his style, for his skills, for what he offered. Being from Europe, everything that he presented, being like one of the first real notable world champions from Europe, actually. You know, that's what he's definitely going to go down in history for. But then, you know, he's going to, if he do step in the ring with Vladimir, well, then we're going to see what Vladimir is made of since he lost to Fury. And then, or if Anthony Joshua is to get past him, what that's going to do, that's going to expose more of how good Anthony Joshua really is. So you would be able to then go back and look at tapes and see what he did good and see what you can do to defend yourself against it, you know, or what Vladimir did that maybe he didn't capitalize on, even though Joshua won, that would give him ammunition to better put a performance on to win the fight, when they fight, if it does come to that down the road. So I think in the meantime, all he got to do is keep waking up every day, being a good soul that he is, keep working hard, putting his best foot forward, keep dedicating himself and making those sacrifices, and keep representing America, man. I mean, he's giving brothers a reason to want to go in the gym and try to be a heavyweight champion, because he's bringing class and he's making the heavyweight division fun, because you see he gets in the ring, he don't care what people say, he dance, he play, he talk, he just does him, man. You know, and even I had to be one of the first people to admit it, oh, man, he shouldn't be playing in there. But you know what? I'm not him. I don't put his pants on. I don't take him off. I don't lay him down and wake him up. That's what I did. So the fact that I chose not to play, the fact that I chose not to laugh and do all the things that he does, hey, man, that was my choice. That's what makes us individuals. As long as he's winning and he's happy at the end of the day, it ain't none of my business. I'm just going to continue to support the brother and hope that he keep doing what he's doing because he's a great inspiration for all fighters, but especially for the heavyweight division. And he's showing some of these kids out here, you know, you can become a heavyweight boxer from America, and your last name don't have to be Klitschko. So I think that by the time he fights a Joshua or he fights a Klitschko, well, guess what? He made more experience, and he's matured more. I mean, he's still fairly, in my opinion, he's still fairly a young fighter in the heavyweight division because I didn't even feel mature as a fighter. I mean, strength-wise, my grown man strength, if you will, until I was in my late 30s, man. I'm talking about 36, 37. Well, and remember, I won my title at 31. And believe it or not, I was stronger at 36 than I was at 31. But like I said, because of the eye injuries I suffered, that was the beginning and the end of my career. But it was a good run while I had it. But I'm just saying, as a heavyweight, we don't mature until our mid to late 30s. He's still a young man. He's still got plenty of time. If he can avoid wars and then get that experience, get more confidence, by the time he fight those guys, man, it won't even be a fight.
Jabron, you know, I mean, many times I've said that I wanted to see these two fight before either one got in the ring with Deontay. Your thoughts on that, though? How do you think this sets up things for Deontay with, you know, as you said, you know, the Malik Scott fight and also the Klitschko Joshua fight? How do you think that sets up things for our American heavyweight, Deontay Wilder?
Just like the champ said, I think it's good for him. He can, like you say, he can sit back and analyze things. And not only that, he can get healthy. He don't have to just rush into a fight, you know. I mean, I know he want to stay busy and in shape, but he don't have to rush and pressure himself. He can heal and tackle his injuries that he had in the past and get his body close as he can to 100% so he could be ready for any of those wars. Because like Layman said, you know, those wars is going to take something out of those fighters. So if he can try to preserve his body, keep his status, and still make money, hey, sounds like a plan.
And then, JK, you got to remember, JK, I just wanted to add to what Jabron was saying. You got to look at the upside of it. So let's say that Deontay Wilder is the undisputed heavyweight champion. He has all the titles. Then my question is, then where do we go from here in boxing? If he's cleaned out the division, then what is the upside? Will we have another Roy Jones on our hands fighting post office workers and sheriffs? So I think it's better served if we take our time in this sport with our champions instead of rushing him to beat everybody, because once you get to the top, then there's nowhere else to go if you're already there. But then in the meanwhile, with these other guys fighting, it gives some inspiration to other guys in the gym or up-and-coming fighters that, hey, I can make it too, you know, because it kind of seemed, and it's just me talking, it kind of seemed like it came a point in the heavyweight division where, you know, after me, there were so many people afraid of the Klitschkos, they didn't even want to be a heavyweight no more. Or they didn't want to. They wanted to fight and make money as fighters, but they didn't want to fight the Klitschkos and their managers and their promoters. You know, maybe the promoters wanted to do it. Maybe the managers wanted to do it. But you can see, man, just go back and look. When Vladimir really took over the division, there was nobody out there to oppose him because everybody was pretty much afraid of him like they were before I fought him. So I say, man, let this kid Deontay Wilder, man, I think the best thing for him is just growth, man. Just let him continue to organically grow and grow into the butterfly that he can be.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, and that was my point when I was saying, you know, that I would definitely want to see Klitschko and Joshua fight before he had to throw his hat in the ring to fight either one. But Layman, you know, I'm as much as I love Ohio, I'm really hard on my Cincinnati fighters, and we've kind of talked about a little bit about Adrian before, but you know, once again, he's on social media talking about contemplating suicide, and I think this just makes for a bad image for him. I realize that you know, every boxer has to have his stick and whatnot, but Layman, when you start talking about suicide on social media, do you think that Adrian's gone too far?
Well, man, let me just say to you, my opinion, okay? And I can't speak for any other person, whether he's a fighter or not. But what worked for some does not work for others. And the thing that makes us all individuals are that we do the things that we feel best serves our life while we're still breathing. I think that Adrian Broner did that because it was something inside of him, in his spirit, in his soul, that told him to do that. Because you can literally say Adrian Broner is on top of the world. Why? Because Adrian Broner has achieved the success that all fighters wish that they could. He has no real financial problems. He has a bright future. He's been putting on great performances. He's overcame many hurdles. He's on top of the world. And not just me on the outside looking in. That's me being in his shoes at one point in my life. So for him to put that out there, and not to just to a friend who put it out there, but to do it personally, he's trying to tell people inside that he's hurting. He's trying to tell people inside of him he doesn't feel a happiness. And so people like me, you, and anybody else that is not around him, I think it's easy for us to try to say what we think or what we feel, but you have to stop and ask yourself, would you do it? Because I know if I did it, I'm only doing it because it's for real. And he ain't never did that before at any point in his life. Now, how would I feel if I sit up here and say, oh, you know, he's just doing it for attention, and then guess what? A month later, he kills himself. Because actors, movie stars, musicians, sports figures, and everyday people do it every single day. And they try to put it out there, and people ignore them. Now, can I, as a
Champ,
man...
I'm sorry
yes,
to
sir.
Cut you off, but this isn't the first time Adrian has contemplated suicide. And it's
nope.
not the first time that he put it on social media.
Oh, really? Okay, well, again, I'm speaking from where I'm standing because I'm not in his shoes. Now, I can say he could be suffering, and maybe he needs to be diagnosed with what you call that manic depression, where you feel suicidal. And I'll be the first to admit that I've never said this to anybody ever. I've felt suicidal before in my life. I mean, people close to me, like my wife, they may know these things. Very few people, a handful of people, but I'm saying it for the first time in my entire life to the world, if anybody's listening. Yeah, I've contemplated suicide plenty of times over my whole entire life because I didn't even know that I was, manic depressant. You know, I had to kind of read up on it. No, I ain't never been to the doctor even to this day, but the symptoms that I read about it, yeah, that would be me, man. You know, after every fight, I would be so doggone depressed that I would have suicidal thoughts. Now, how could you say that when you just won the U.S. Nationals? You know, you just won the heavyweight championship of the world. Like, how can you say that? Well, I'm only saying that because that's what I felt. I didn't put it out there on social media. Matter of fact, this is the first time anybody's ever heard me say that. I don't even think my mother even heard me say that. But that's why I really am trying to hit home with you guys that I can identify with a guy like Adrian Broner, you know, and that's why, like, a person like myself, you know, I found my outlet in the Word of God and reading the Bible. And I know, JK, you see a lot of the things I post, but I post these things because my spirit, it lifts me up so that I don't have those feelings of those depression and, you know, the wicked thoughts to ever do anything to myself, you know, not just thinking about my kids, but just the, you know, God put me here for a reason. So I feel like this helps me as a man. So whatever it is, I hope that Adrian can get the help, man. One thing that I read was that Floyd Mayweather reached out to him, and I saw just today him and Floyd together in the gym, and I was really happy to see that. And I want to say to Floyd Mayweather, man, I love you, brother, and I'm so thankful to you for doing that, man, because this brother, Adrian Broner, as good as he is, as great as he may be, he really looked up to you, and all he ever wanted was your love, man, and I appreciate you. And it takes a real man to set aside your pride or whatever it was that y'all had between y'all, man. So my hat goes off to you just like it's always went off to you. And I tell people about Floyd every day, man. Floyd ain't never changed. Floyd didn't get money and act the way he act. Floyd was this way when we was in the amateurs, man. And he was this way when we was with Bob Arum, when we both only had 2 and 3 fights. So, you know, that was just a little side note that I had to throw in there, man. But getting back to Adrian Broner, you know, man, that what he's saying could just be symptoms of post, like I said, this depression, man, manic depression, because manic depression people, they do have these suicide thoughts. And I'm saying that because, like I said, for the first time, I'm admitting in my entire life at 43 that I am one of those people. But I keep God first, so that always prevents me from doing that. But when I'm feeling low, I'll call somebody and I'll talk their ears off if they don't want to talk to me, you know, or my wife or even my kids. So that's what it is, man. It's real out here.
Most definitely. Jabron, as you mentioned, you know, this isn't the first time that Adrian's went on, you know, social media and talked about contemplating suicide and whatnot. And Layman made some good points, but Jabron, you know, I mean, are we perhaps getting to the point with Adrian, you know, like they did with the little boy that cried wolf once too many times?
Sorry, I was on mute. I mean, I'm starting to kind of feel that way because I actually went back and did a little homework on this situation and evaluated his Twitter account. I think it's Twitter or Instagram. And in the midst of him sending those messages, he was promoting some party or something event that he got coming up soon. So I'm like, you can't be that serious about killing yourself. You sitting here trying to promote this party, you know what I'm saying? With, in between messages, you know, first, oh, I'm going to send you know, I'm just telling my family I love them and all this. Then the next post, you got about promoting a party. Then the next post, you got a picture of a gun. I'm going to do it at 3 o'clock. Like, really? You know, I mean, those are touchy situations because, you know, I mean, you only get one life. I mean, you know, suicide, anything touching that, I mean, it's serious. But I'm just going off his behavior and looking at his actions. It's like just when you think he's not relevant, he would do something to make himself relevant. You know, and it gets to a point where people want to pay to see him lose. He have fans that want to see him win, but I bet you it's more people buying that ticket that's hitting okay on the pay-per-view or turning to that channel to see him lose. So, I think it's more of a publicity stunt. You know, I like Champ said, I give my shout out to Floyd for stepping up and you know, trying to help him out. But I think it's not just exposure but I think he's just crying out for attention. Just attention. It's not so much that he want to kill himself. He just want attention.
Well, man, I just want to, you know, I just want to jump in here real quick again, if you don't mind, JK. I won't take the floor too long, my brother. But you said it right, Jabron. You know, the other case scenario is he could be doing it for attention because, remind you, he still is young. And when you're young and you don't have true knowledge and wisdom of life, then you can abuse things that people take to be very serious. So as you said about the whole crying wolf, I hope that's not the case, man, because what he does is he makes life harder for people who really do suffer from manic depression like myself. So, yeah.
The reason why I probably have a slightly different view than both of you. It is a well-known documented fact, especially during this election, that there are 22 soldiers that commit suicide every day.
Every day.
Every day. And
I work
and
for
health
somebody,
and
freedom.
And for somebody to use this platform so lightly, like I said, I mean, this isn't the first time that he's been on social media talking about, you know, taking his own life and whatnot. But piggybacking off what Layman said, I mean, you know, there are people out here that really, really need help, that have been through really dire circumstances, and these are documented records. If you're not sincere, this is not something that you know. I think you should be fooling with, like you know, Jabron said. I mean, not actually knowing what's in the guy's mind, but, you know, one minute you're going to commit suicide, the next minute, you know, you're talking about a party, you know, and like I said, you know, just strictly from what I know of, you know, my brothers in arms, I think it kind of does them a disservice, and, you know, I don't know what's in the young man's mind, but you know, I think you know that this taking this so lightly that you can just, you know, place it on social media where you know, some people could consider it a joke, is taking this a step too far, and perhaps I'm oversimplifying.
just because I don't really want to get into a lot of details about feelings and whatnot. But, you know, when someone talks about committing suicide or being depressed, you know, and you know, they're making millions of dollars and you know, they're making sex tapes and things like this. You know, I just think, you know, there's a certain amount of disrespect there. And, you know, like I said, maybe I'm just taking it a little too personal. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. LeBron, once again, we see Billy Joe Sanders is withdrawn from another fight. His first defense, you know, we were talking about, you know, some people that he could fight, and, you know, he's talking about the people that he wants to fight and whatnot. But LeBron, is BJ Sanders, do you think that he's for real? Or, I mean, you know, is this another Tyson Fury type adventure without the drugs?
That's what it's looking like. You know, it's like every opportunity he gets, he's calling out Triple G and saying something about Canelo, and he want to unify the titles. He want to do this. But then it comes time for fight, and we don't see no fight. And he's just sitting on the title. I think the Saints and Embody should do something about this. I mean, he's been out the ring, what, a year now, right?
Yeah, at least a year, yeah. Layman, you know, this is a light heavyweight here. I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, Kovalev and Andre Ward, you know, and you know, the light heavyweight division is starting to show a little promise here. Is BJ just you know, more or less just holding these belts hostage? Because it doesn't seem to me that he's really serious about defending any of them. I think, you know, and I don't really want to make light of any man that you know, that goes inside that squared circle to make his living. But Layman, I mean, you know, I just think that we've gotten away from, you know, the best wanting to fight the best. And the only thing we're thinking of now is dollars and cents and who can I get a payday from, not, you know, how to prove, you know, that I'm the champion.
Oh, man. Wow. I really don't know how to reply to that, to be honest with you, man. That's that's a multi-question, and I don't have an answer. I really don't. I can't believe I, of all people, don't have an answer, but I don't. I think what LeBron said was probably spot on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just disheartening, you know, when you know, you come from an era, you know, like you guys, Layman, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, you know, when you come from an era like that, you know, even you know, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, you know, and now you see. And I can't, you know, I mean, I know it sounds disrespectful, but I'm looking at a lot of paper champions here. I don't see a lot of real champions, you know, guys that are willing to put to take it all and put it all in the ring, you know, like we used to say, you know, back in the day. But, you know, once again, maybe I'm just being, you know, a little pessimistic here. And, you know, maybe things aren't quite, you know, as bad as I think they are, especially within certain divisions. Layman, you wanted to kind of address that and give us your final thoughts for the evening, my man, before we let you go?
Okay, well, what I would like for you to do is the last thing that you just said, I would like for you to revise what you said so that I can give you some input to it, because I don't think I quite caught what you were trying to say.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is we're, you know, we had champions, you know, like you, like you know, Tyson, like Evander Holyfield. You know, I mean, you guys were willing to fight and to put everything on the line every time you stepped in the ring. Now, I see champions that aren't willing to step in the ring to prove that they're champions, but are stepping in the ring to see how big a paycheck they could take home. I understand, you know, that you know, it's prize fighting, that you're fighting for money. I understand that's how you make your living. But I don't see the same dedication to the craft that I saw back
right.
in the days. Or like I said, maybe I'm being too pessimistic. Am I wrong?
No, man. I want to say, and then Jabron, I would definitely like you to, you know, tell me what you think, man. But I think that, and this, again, this is just my opinion. I could be wrong, but I think this is just a new era. We're in the age of the millennials. The millennials don't feel, you know, we do our era, because it was a different time. You know, it was definitely a different time, and I think I was considered the last of the Mohegans. But everything is different now, man. The technology is different. Even the medicine is different, man. You know, our ways of thinking is different. All the television shows are different. You know, you didn't have reality TV shows back then. But I'm just saying, man. I think it's a part of evolution that the mindset of our youth have changed, so they don't feel the way that we feel. Just like you take guys in my age of the 40s, and then you take guys in their 20s, they don't know about the things that our ancestors necessarily suffered. They don't know necessarily about the racism that we went through. And I'm just using that, just trying to make it a point, man. Their mindset is totally different from ours, so the only thing we can do is try to accept their future, because it's their future at the end of the day. You know, a guy like Floyd Mayweather really set the bar, because people didn't see the hard work. They saw the payout. They saw the profit. They saw the bling. They saw the things that appeal to the mind of an earthly man. So that's all that they know. So how can they do anything different when they heard about hard work, but they didn't hear about it? You know what I mean? Because they were so overshadowed by $1 million being thrown out of an airplane, I mean out of a helicopter, over a club, you know, in a parking lot or something, or 50,000 warrants being thrown around in strip clubs and diamond-studded rings and watches and Bugattis. So that does not say anything about hard work. It just says bling. You know, they don't see the fact that this man have his Bugatti to follow him from the club to his house because he's running. So he set the bar for us in an era where these youth, these millennials, just have a different mentality than us. And so for me, I just have to accept it, because I'm not in their shoes, where if they was in my shoes, they would be humble and they would have a great appreciation for all the struggles of our ancestors and even my own struggles. But, you know, that's my two cents. Jabron, what do you think, brother?
Well, I mean, that sounds great. My analysis of the situation, I want to compare it to dating relationships. Whereas back in the days when it wasn't as much technology, you seen a lot of couples, families, you know, husband and wives stand together 30, 40, 60 years, 70 years, you know. Where today's age is like, who can get divorced the fastest? With that being said, I feel like, in a sense, with J.K. saying about the paper champion, it's like they say a person does everything, or in the case of women, when a woman would do everything to get a man, but once they get a man, are they doing the things to keep a man? So with that being said, I feel like in this day and age, they're doing what they have to do to become a champion, but not to stay a champion, because they have so many options. The same way as in a relationship. Nowadays, there's so many options. There's so many social media outlets. You can go on this dating site. You can do this, where they didn't have that back in those days. You know, you ain't even have call waiting. So where nowadays you have options. So when people have options, they're not going to put themselves and test themselves and push themselves. You know, that's just like a job. If you got two jobs, and you know, like, hey, I ain't really got to go that hard, you know, and the other, I got another job. But, hey, but if this the only job you got and you don't have that many skills and you're not trained that well, you're gonna go to that job every day with pride, and you're going to do it with dignity, because you know that's all I have. So that's just my analysis of the situation.
Hey, I have, you know, my only thing in this is, you know, and you know, I guess you could take it all the way back to the fashion, the saggy jeans, and the whole nine yards. What the hell happened to pride?
Millennials, man.
You can't blame that. I don't think you can blame that all on millennials, Layman. I think.
Yes, you can, JK.
I think we have to take a certain amount of responsibility in that also.
How, JK? You gonna get the police called on you if you try to discipline your child, and in school you can't punish your you. Kids don't get paddles no more because that's illegal. You can't. You cannot spank your children in your own house is anymore, or because that's illegal. You can't do the things of a parent anymore.
But Layman, the things that you are talking about are the things that your generation, not, you know, I mean, my generation passed down to your generation that you should not have it as hard as we did growing up. Then you passed it down to your kids that, hey, you know, you don't even have to do that because mommy and daddy will take care of you. So, I mean, it's been a gradual relaxation of discipline and pride within the community and ourselves that has kind of led to where we are now. Layman, I mean, come on. Now, if grandma had seen you with your goddamn pants sagging down around your goddamn, around your damn knees, come on. Now, you know what would happen, you know?
Yes,
I'm not saying you per se, but when your generation decided to have kids, then you said, "Hey, you know, we're not going to be beating them like grandma and grandpa beat us. We're going to make sure, you know, that you know they don't have to walk to school no more. You know, that they got a bus that'll come right there and pick them up. you know, and you know, let them express themselves. You know, I mean, you know, don't suppress. You know, if they put a belt on and bring their pants up to their waist, you're suppressing their artistic abilities. I mean, you know, come on. You know, this, like I said, this to me is just a gradual erosion of a situation where that we thought was going to make our community better, and it made us, I think, a little bit lazier, and like I said, a lot less prideful, you know, in our appearances, and you know, I mean that also affects your thoughts. But like I said, you know, maybe I'm just being an old pessimist here, you know, and you know, but you know, that's why I talked to you and Jabron, because you know, it's also important for me to tap upon, you know, what's going on, because you know, I mean, I don't want to be thrown out with the dishwasher either. So, you know, I kind of understand, but you know, I just think that my generation especially, you know, I think we have to take a lot of responsibility, because we didn't want our next generation to take the responsibilities that we did. But final thoughts for today, gentlemen. Let's start with you, Layman. Final thoughts for the evening, man, and hope I didn't step on too many toes out there in the audience.
No, man, you know, the thing that I want to just add my last 2 cents to what you were saying is that you got to understand that when the teachers are told to tell the children that they're not allowed to be hit by their parents, it gave these kids a feeling of empowerment. Because, you know, if you have a child, they're going to try you at some point in life. Like the majority of all children, no matter what race, they try their parents at some point in their life. But knowing that their parents cannot do certain things to them because it's against the law, it allows the wickedness to grow in a child, that they have a power that they can use over their parent, which also it makes their mind start to go in a different direction, which takes their life in a different direction. So that I just want to end by saying, man. I say to people, if you want to follow me, it's Layman Brewster, LamonBrewster, and you know, that's Facebook, that's Twitter, that's Instagram, and me, man, I just love to have these kind of discussions, man, boxing or not. I just like to have life discussions, because you know, not that I support Jesse Jackson, but he said one thing great. He said, working together works. And as long as we're talking, then we're getting somewhere. So, you know, I encourage everybody to continue to support this show, man. My man James King, he's doing a great thing here. We have real conversations, you know, and it's all about stepping on toes, because if I tell you everything that you want to hear, then I'm lying to you. So I just want to, you know, leave you guys with that, man, and thank you for supporting my career.
Hey, thank you, champ, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Jabron, your final thoughts for the evening, man, and, you know, I hope I didn't trash the millennials too much, but, you know, like I said, I was just putting my opinion out there. It's just an opinion.
I'm young JK, but I got an old soul, and I've been raised by the old schoolers. So trust me, you ain't stepping on my toes. I love open dialogue. Just explode. So
you're kind of breaking up.
Yourself. So with that being said, thanks to the listeners. I'd like to thank Champ, as always, giving his input, and thank you, JK, for having me and the fans. And you can find me on Facebook, J Jabran Clement, J-A-B-R-A-N, Clement, C-L-E-M-O-N, and they can let the fans know where they can find you.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at West Coast Steeler Fan, where I talk boxing, and you can always find me on the Sports Crib. And don't forget to check out our pages on Facebook, The Pugilist Corner and The Weekend Wrap. And thank everyone for listening. Thank you, Jabron, and the champ for your time. And looking forward to talking to Mr. Kevin Kelly and a couple prospects Tuesday on The Pugilist Corner. So have a great night, everyone. See you next week. Ooh.